You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
Every heart that is broken. Thank you. Thank you. Forever you are glorious. Forever you are risen, you are alive. everybody. We crown you Lord of all.
Yes,
Lord Jesus Christ, we just thank you that you're on the throne and you're high lifted up and you're elevated, Lord. And you are the King of our hearts. You're the King of the universe. You're the King of all kings, God. And Lord, we just ask you to just be with us in a new way today, that we are just sensing and feeling your closeness and your presence, Lord. In the middle of this pandemic, it makes no difference to you, God. You draw in close to us as we draw in close to you. And you hold us in your arms. And we say, Lord, stay here.
Yes,
be here. Thank you, Lord. Be with us in this time.
Yes, Jesus.
Be with us in this place. Lord, we can do nothing without you. Without you, Lord, we are going our own way. We're lost sheep. We're just moving in the tall grass. But in your heart, God, you draw us close to you so that we will stay in that safe place, that we will live under the shadow of your wings.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the great joy that's in our hearts that only you can produce.
That's right.
We thank you, Lord, that in the midst of turbulence, in the midst of uncertainty, we know we can call on you. And we know that you are our answer, you're our source, you're our sustainer, you're our healer, you're our hope. You're the great, great God of the universe, the great I am. Thank you, Lord. You're our precious Redeemer. You're the Lord of all. Thank you, Lord. Lord, as we have the privilege of meeting together again in this room, Lord, we just say, let it be all for your glory. Let it be all for you. Let it be. Let it be, Lord. Let your way and your kingdom heart just permeate this place. And every person who is watching, every person who is receiving, every person who wants to know you, every person who isn't even sure if they want to know you, Lord, that every person who's tuning in today would sense your nearness, would sense that something's happening. Thank you, Lord. We worship you today. We just give you glory. We give you praise, and we thank you, Lord. We give you praise and thanksgiving, Lord, that we rejoice in you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you and praise you for all things. We rejoice where all things are being made new.
Yes.
We thank you, Father, for those who are loving you and are called and know you, called according to your purpose. You say you work everything out.
Yes, Jesus.
And Lord, you are sovereign. You are in control. And Lord, we're trying to understand how that looks and works. And we're trusting you in the process. So we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that we depend on you. Our source is in you, God. And you invite us into that safe place.
Right.
Into that place
that's
where there
right.
is nothing but good. Because that's who you are. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless your name.
Thank you, Lord.
This morning, I just wanted to mention that if you are on Instagram, our feed will drop for a short time in about 20 minutes. In about 20 minutes, it'll pick right back up, so don't go away. But we just want to welcome you and say thank you so much for joining us so that we can just love Jesus together.
Yep.
And we can worship the Lord together. This is his design. This is his doing. He is not bothered. And he's not surprised about this pandemic. Bothered maybe is a different word for him. Maybe he's saying, listen, this is your time. This is your season. Look up. Look up and listen. I'm doing a new thing. I just wanted to tell you that some of us have been able to connect in with a beautiful live stream yesterday. It was the next step for what was called the Send. And the Send was an opportunity that we had back on February 8th in Brazil to be able to go into Sao Paulo, Brazil. And when we were there at the stadium, oh my gosh, there were 140,000 people among three stadiums, two in Sao Paulo, one in Brasilia. And it was so great because we were praising the Lord and just keeping our eyes on Jesus. And do you know, from my understanding of what I read, that the very first corona case was determined the next day? Here in Ohio, anyway. We were in Brazil. None of us knew about that. That's what I read, anyway. If that's accurate, that's what I read. And so I'm just thinking about God's plan for all of this, because he's not nervous. He's not looking around going, oh no, what's happening? He knows exactly what's happening, and he's saying, these are the signs of the times, look up. He's saying, I've got a plan and a purpose, look up.
That's it.
He's saying, draw into me, look up. And I just had a couple of verses here that I wanted to read to you in a couple of different versions. This is Psalm 25, 14 and 15, and this is in the New American Standard. And I just love this because it's so encouraging in our hearts to be able to just draw into how he looks at things. The word says, "The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him." Whoa. "And he will make them know his covenant." So the fear of the Lord, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, the Bible says is the beginning of wisdom. And the Lord wants us to know that his wisdom is needed in this hour, in every hour. But he's saying, "I'm drawing you close to me because my secrets are revealed. And I will give you the mystery that is revealed. I will give you the secret of what that looks like. I will give you the idea of what I'm thinking and what I'm doing." It's like, wow, we can draw in that close to our God. We can. He takes us into that throne room. He says, "Come." He says, "Come. Come with boldness. Come with confidence. Knowing that I love you and I hear you and I see you in your time of need." That's really reassuring, because without that, we're just spinning our wheels. We're just stumbling over everything. And last week I was talking a little bit about stumbling and about, you know, falling over, into pitfalls and pit holes and traps and things like that. But also quoting in scripture that Jesus is spoken about as the stumbling stone. He says, I am the stone that makes men stumble and the rock that makes men fall. It's like, whoa. This is our good God. And he's saying, I want to prepare you so that you will never stumble. So he's speaking to his beloved and saying, I give you the keys so that you won't stumble, because you have stumbled over me and you have found that you can do nothing without me. It's like, wow, God. I want to read on that in verse 15 in that same psalm, it says, "My eyes are continuously toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net."
Yes,
now there's
Lord.
Hope in that scripture, because he tells us who he is in the first scripture in verse 14. And then in 15, he tells us what we need to do. But I like that. I like marching orders from the Lord. Tell me what's going on, and I'll follow you. I'll obey you. Bring me into that place where your very spirit, the spirit of the fear of the Lord that's released in those who know him, who call on him in every way, surrender to him, and are filled up with his power.
Yes.
Those people are described, the nature of God, for the spirit of the fear of the Lord and every other character is described in the Bible in Isaiah chapter 11 in the first few verses. You can read it, but the Lord tells us, you can read in different translations, but he tells us that those who have and possess and understand and receive the spirit of the fear of the Lord, they are a delight to him.
Yes.
I want to be a delight to our God. He says, "You live for my pleasure. I created you to know me, to worship me." And that will be shown as you just say, "All about you, Jesus. I will obey you. I will obey you quickly. I will obey you promptly. I will obey you at all cost. I will not look at what's in it for me. I will not second guess. I will be able to see the bigger picture. When you call me to obey, those even who are around me, who are leading, I will hear it. I will see it. I will not come up with my own plan."
Yes.
That's how he holds us together.
That's right.
To be able to move in tandem with him. I love that. Thank you, Lord. So we declare today and probably through the rest of the morning that our eyes, Lord, are continually on you.
Yes.
That's the desire of our hearts. "My eyes are continually towards you, Lord, for you will pluck my feet out of the net," out of the trap. That's a big God, and that's our God who will rescue us. He's our rescuer. That same passage, Psalm 25, 14 and 15, I'm also going to read in the Message. It says, God's friendship is for God's worshipers. They are the ones that he will confide in. So it says that he is our friend. For those of us who are completely worshiping him in spirit and in truth and obeying him as a result. When we're worshiping the Lord, saying, "Lord, your way," anything you say. It's all about you, and my eyes are on you. Do you know that as we are filled with the power of God, do you know that he will enable us through the desire he puts in there to obey him quickly? He's calling us to move together. He's calling us to say, let's do this together.
Yes.
Find your tribe.
Yes.
This is the season. The Lord's saying, I'm showing you the way. As you cast your net to the other side of the boat, as Jesus told his disciples after he rose from the dead, he said, you're not catching fish, so do it my way.
Yes.
Do it my way. Pull in. Find your tribe and plant and move in tandem so that your arms are linked together.
That's right.
So there's no weak link. The Lord says, I want to take care of any weak link in us and in the tribe that you're with. Why? So that we can move together and bring in a great harvest. And that's how we obey God, saying, your way, anything. And when he plants a desire in our heart, he'll bring it to pass.
That's right.
I have so many desires in my heart. I have so many things I've laid before the Lord, and I haven't seen the fulfillment of all of them. Some of them, but there are many, and I will not give up. I will not stop. Why? Because he says, put your eyes on me, and you're my friend, as you're filled with the Spirit of God. As you walk in this awesome reverence, the spirit of the fear of the Lord.
Yes.
Which is the beginning of real wisdom. I believe when we're in these days right now, when we're asking God for wisdom, we stop short. Because it tells us in James, ask God for wisdom and he'll give it to you liberally. But we have the full counsel of God's word that says, ask him for his wisdom. Not the world's wisdom, not our opinions, not what we're partnering with, not what just makes sense, not what we can understand because somebody in the world seems to make it plain and clear. That doesn't mean it's God's wisdom.
That's right.
At all. And then we can easily, you know, fall into a trap. And we don't, God doesn't want us to be in the trap. He wants to pluck us out of the trap so we can rescue others.
That's
right. He's a rescuer.
That's right.
He says, do you want to be a first responder? Do you want to be a frontline person, a person living on the front lines as how Jesus says so? Do you want to respond to his voice clearly? Then lay down and die. Lay down and let God lift you up. Die to ourselves. This is all about Jesus. The scriptures that I've read so far are all about him, not us. But he tells us what to do because he's crowned with many crowns and he's high and lifted up. So he's worth our entire life, beloved.
Yes.
He's worth it.
Yes.
He is the worthy
That's
one.
Right.
He's worthy of all honor, all dominion, all
yes.
glory,
yes.
all praise.
Yes.
And he gives us everything we need inside to be able to say yes.
That's
keep
right.
going. Keep going. And if there's a way that you're going that isn't the best, I'll show you. But you must be willing to see it. Because I see it. And the people around you might see it. But if you even ask them, because they can see. Those who are carrying the spirit of the fear of the Lord can see. He says so. Because they're friends of God. Humble yourselves under my mighty hand, he says. And I will lift you up in due time.
Yes.
So it's all about humility. Doesn't matter. This message doesn't change whether there's a pandemic, not a pandemic. So yesterday, when we're watching, many of us were able to watch 12 hours live streaming. It was really great. Not the stadium event I was telling you about in the beginning. That stadium event took place February 8th. But those who were connected with it and those who joined in after that, they were on for 12 hours and were just watching and listening the best we could yesterday. And worshiping and going, yes, God, you're going to take this very crisis and you're going to use it for your glory. I'm all in. I'm all hands on deck. I'm part of that
yes.
cry. That's who I am. And if I need to change something in my life, I'll lay it down so you can pull me right out of that trap. I'll be able to see it and humble myself under your mighty hand.
Yes.
Oh, it was so great. The message, this is Psalm 25, verse 14 and 15 again. Verse 25, or Psalms 25 in the message says, God's friendship is for God's worshipers. They are the ones he confides in, which I began to read. And then if, here's another marching order from God, if I keep my eyes on God, I won't trip over my own feet. This is something for believers. This is something for people who know Jesus. I won't trip over myself. Jesus says, I'm the stone that makes men stumble. You can't get past me. Nothing gets past me. And I'm the rock that will make men crash and fall away from themselves. Because the Lord says, I want to rescue you from yourself. It's not even about the virus. It's about ourselves.
Yes.
And then we rise up with wings of eagles, on wings of eagles. We run and we're not weary. We walk and we're not faint. And then we'll be able to see. We'll be able to see what the real enemy is. We'll stop fighting one another. And we'll be able to see the power and the source of the enemy's attempts to entrap us and to cause us to stay in the net, in bondage. This is the season, beloved, where the Lord is saying, I'm going to free anyone who wants to be free. You want to be free from any bondage that would keep you from the very promises of God? This is the season to humble ourselves and say, oh, you show me how. I will go all the way. I'm all in. I won't stop.
That's right.
Amen? I don't want to trip over my own feet. When I do, I get to repent. I have the privilege of doing that. Matthew 25, 14 and 15 in the Passion Translation. Listen to this. There's a private place reserved for the lovers of God. A private place reserved for the lovers of God where they sit near him and they receive the revelation, the secrets of his promise. Rescue me, Lord, for you're my only hero. Come on. That's true first responder living. That's true frontline living. You want to be a first responder? You want to be a hero, or I should say a frontline person? You want to be the ones in the front lines? As you're listening to what's going on the news and everything else and everywhere else, and people who are bravely, courageously going in and helping other people, I'm not faulting that. I would never do that. I love it. But as the Lord is looking at what he says is a first responder, it's a person who's on the front lines. He says, you're going to see me as your hero.
Yes.
That's it.
That's right.
It's right here in the scripture. He says, follow my word. And then you'll be able to navigate. And you'll be able to use everything I've given you. And then finally in Psalm, where is it here? In Psalm 19:9, I wrote this out in the New Internet or NASB. The fear of the Lord is clean and enduring forever. The fear of the Lord is clean and enduring forever. Mm. There were two versions I wanted to just mention to you while you're thinking about this, because I believe he's going to release the spirit of the fear of the Lord in
yes.
this very morning.
Yes.
I believe as we commune with him, there's a purpose, and that purpose is to love on Jesus, to receive him, to be able to connect with this great communion revival around the world. The Lord says, I am passing over you because you belong to me and love me. And I am giving you what you need for a fresh Pentecost, a fresh Holy
yes.
Spirit, complete release in the world. Do we believe that?
Yes.
The Lord's releasing that to his prophets around the world. Do we believe it?
Yes.
And the Lord wants us to walk in that and say, count me in. I'm all in. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I need to have that heart that I want to see the great end time harvest. I need to not have my eyes just fixed on my own little world, my own four walls, my own little group. No. The Lord says, look up because I'm going to show you something much bigger.
Yes.
While you love your own little group within your four walls. Because I'm going to take you out of your four walls. And it's not going to be your timing. It's going to be mine. That can be kind of scary. But the Lord says, listen to me. Follow me. Pull in and watch what I do. Because I'm bringing these walls down. I'm setting people free from traps. And I want to use you to
Absolutely.
Be able to do that.
Yes, Lord.
So the fear of the Lord is clean and it's enduring forever. That's in the NASB. And then I wanted to read in the Passion. Every one of the Lord's commands is right. Following them brings cheer. And nothing he says needs to be changed. In the world, we might take our glasses and go, cheers. And the Lord says, in my world, the cheer, the joy of the Lord is going to be lasting and enduring forever.
That's
He's
right.
calling us into this place of endurance. And he says, I want you to follow my commands. And I want you to learn to obey quickly, swiftly, easily. It's okay because you're in charge. I can do it. I'm not going to wrestle. I'm not going to fight anymore. I'm going to allow you. I'm going to take the place and the post that you've given me so that we can move the ship into deep waters together. That's what he tells us. Are we willing or do we say no? Let him give you a yes in your heart today. And then finally, I just wanted to read to you something that is actually quoted in an email that we sent out that you would have received on Saturday. If you didn't get that, please, as you're watching, put your email address down and check, and we'll send it to you. But it's really about he who has an ear. Let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. If there was ever a time, beloved, right now, and we're going to enter into communion in a moment, if there was ever to hear what the Lord is saying to the church, it's right now. In Revelation chapter 2, in chapter 3, there are seven sentences, phrases, verses. They're identical. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I want to know what he's saying, because he gives us seven different scenarios of churches in Asia Minor a long time ago. And he's saying, beloved, that's for you today. Find yourself within that and say, Lord, I have an ear. I want to hear. I want to hear what you're saying. I want to hear what you're doing. I don't want my ears that are itching to go, yeah, that sounds right. Because there's a few prophetic people. Well, maybe there's some prophetic people that are right in your midst that you've ignored because they have heard something that will help you, but you've been resisting. Beloved, today is the day to allow the Lord to take resistance out so that you can hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. He who has an ear, let him hear. So in Psalm 18, excuse me, in Psalm 18, verse 30, as for God, his way is blameless. The word of the Lord, yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. Thanks, Carl. Psalm 18, verse 30. As for God, his way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. And who is God but the Lord? Who is a rock except our God? The God who girds me with strength and makes my way blameless. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets me upon my high places. What? He makes my feet like? He makes me? I think I read another verse where he makes me. He's making me into something here. He makes my feet as hinds' feet. A hind is female deer. And he says, I'm going to strengthen you so that your legs and your structure is strong. And hinds' feet with a female deer are really important in the picture that I believe the Lord wants to quickly paint as we transition. And that is that the Lord wants us to believe that as we step into Jesus' footsteps, just like a hind, a female deer, the feet behind in the back will actually step in to where the feet are, the footprints are in the beginning, in the front. How does he do that? He created this deer that way. You can read about it in this email. But what's the point? The point is there's precision, there's flexibility, there's ability to do things that other creatures can't do. A deer that would scale a mountain that is so large, and it seems like, I can't do this. I can't climb that mountain. I can't get past it. There's no way. It's so big. I'm stuck. I can't move. I can't get past anything. I can't. I can't. But the Lord says, yes, you can, because I'm going to make your feet like hinds' feet. So when a deer goes around the mountain on what looks like a completely crazy trek, if you look straight up on, even on a stone mountain, there'll be little tiny tracks all the way through, wrapping around, where a deer can quickly and swiftly and precisely, being so nimble, be able to go and find their way or its way up to the top and over. That's a hind. And the Lord says, I'm going to make your feet like hinds' feet, because I'm going to strengthen you. This is a day of strengthening. And then he says, In verse 33, he says, he makes my feet like hinds feet. He sets me upon the high places. Okay? Not in the low places, in the ditch where we stay and we grovel and we stay there forever and things don't change. No. The Lord says, you need to know me this way and cry out for me this way. And then he says in verse 34, he trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze, and have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand upholds me. So he trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. He's saying to us, beloved, that the battle that we're in, it's not a battle with coronavirus. It's not a battle against flesh and blood. It's a battle that God has allowed us to be in to enforce who he is and what he's accomplished. And he wants us to know our enemy, but he wants us to know our rescuer even better, so that we'll be able to have our feet made into hinds feet, and we'll be able to bend a bow of bronze. And when we take those arrows out of our quiver and we pull them back, that they will go farther, harder, faster, and they will decimate the plans of the enemy and destroy the enemy's camp. How is that possible? Only with the Lord. The spirit of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, as we reverence him. So let's transition now into a time of celebrating him, because those who eat his flesh and drink his blood come into the understanding and the revelation of his covenant. Be blessed.
Amen. Well, I wanted to share a quick passage as we enter a time of celebration and communion. And it's not a passage that you would traditionally link to celebrating communion, but it's something the Lord put on my heart, and I think it's appropriate for the season that we're in. And it's in Acts chapter 19. And what's happened at this point is that the church is starting to see all of these signs and wonders. And starting in verse 13, it gives this account of somebody who tried to step into that after seeing all the things and all of the signs and wonders that Paul was stepping into. And in verse 13 it says, "But also some of the Jewish exorcists who went from place to place attempted to name over those who had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, 'I adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches.' Seven sons, one of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. And the evil spirits answered and said to them, 'I recognize Jesus and I know about Paul, but who are you?' And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them and subdued all of them and overpowered them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded." Now, at first glance, this doesn't seem like a very empowering verse, but if you read verse 17, it says, "This became known to all, both Jews and Greeks, who lived in Ephesus, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was being magnified." That as we enter this time of communion, I want to encourage you that Jesus is going to be magnified, that he gives you this invitation. We see the invitation at the Last Supper where Jesus talks to his disciples. He says, "This is my body broken for you." And I want to talk a little bit about that this morning, this afternoon, of what that looks like. The fact that his body, it wasn't just broken for sins, but it was broken specifically for you. That he made this sacrifice so that you can walk in the fullness of the gospel. See, what happens here is that these exorcists, they're looking at all of this power that's happening, and they're focused on what's happening externally, and they want to be able to step into that power. Now, the good news is that today you've been given that invitation to walk in that power.
That's right.
Because you know Jesus.
Yes.
And if you don't know Jesus today, this is an opportunity for you to step into that even further.
Yes, Lord.
That he died on the cross for your sins. That's what communion is all about, remembering that he died on the cross for your sins. That you don't have to experience what this guy experienced, but you can walk in the fullness of the power. And my challenge to you today is to not look at the external circumstances of what's happening around you. And that's what happened to this guy. That he wanted the power, but he only knew that power by the Jesus that Paul preached. He didn't know the Jesus intimately himself. But you can today. And that we're going to step into that today, that we're going to experience communion. And the beautiful thing about communion and the sacrifice that Jesus made, it's highlighted in that time when he sits with the disciples. And it says that his body is broken for you. And his blood was poured out for you. That there's two things to remember in communion, is that who are you and who is he? That Jesus, the author and perfecter of your life, who died for your sins, is the Heavenly Father that provides you with everything that you need. And that you are a son or a daughter of the Most High. That you have a great inheritance. And we do this time of communion and remembrance to remember who we are in Christ. Just like yes. Pastor Mary Pat was sharing, to not get caught up in what's happening around you, but to set your eyes on Jesus.
Yes.
That when we set our eyes on him, everything else falls into place.
That's right.
That no matter what fears may rise up, set your eyes on Jesus.
Yeah.
No matter what's happening in your life, and we're all experiencing something different in this season with the COVID-19 stuff happening. Everybody's experiencing something different, and yet we have the same answer.
Yep.
To set our eyes on Jesus. That's why yes. communion is so important. And we put an emphasis on this in our household with our children, because they ask those kinds of questions. And you might be getting those questions as well. Why are we doing communion every single service? Because the value is in remembering.
Yes.
That as we take this time, that I want to encourage you. One thing that I heard during worship is don't fall into a place of familiarity. Like, don't allow this amazing opportunity that you have to connect in communion to fall by the wayside.
That's right.
That don't look at it as just something that we're doing again, but look at it as the true treasure that it is. A chance to connect with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and to remember that he died on that cross for our sins, but also for our healing. And so I encourage you today to take some extra time this morning and this afternoon and pray with whoever you're with,
yes,
to Lord. Truly remember yes. the sacrifice that he made for you. He said, "This is my body broken for you."
Yes.
It is for you. We celebrate, we take communion today in celebration because he did it for you.
Yes.
It wasn't just a generic thing that he did, but he did it specifically for you. And in this season and in this time, when everything else seems to kind of fall apart in the natural, we have the solution, we have the answer, and it's available. And that's why we do communion as much as we do, because there's so much grace in remembering who he is and what he's done.
Yes.
So as we take communion today, I encourage you to step further into that revelation. There's so much more that he wants to unlock for you in this season. There's so much truth and revelation that he has stored up in heaven. And to take advantage of communion as one of those opportunities to hear the voice of a loving Father that says, "I did this for you."
Thank you, Lord.
So, Father, today we just celebrate the fact that you did this for me. You did this for me. That I can walk in the fullness, Lord, that I don't have to be like that man in Acts who gets tormented by the enemy, but I can walk in the fullness. I don't have to proclaim to know you by somebody else's word. I can know you personally. And that's what we want to experience today. So, Father, as we take this communion, we celebrate, God, who you are, and we celebrate who you've made us to be. We remember the great sacrifice that you made at the cross. The body that was broken for us. The blood that was poured out for us. And we step into that grace today. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would bless every ear that hears this. Every house that's listening, Father, that they would encounter you today. That this time of communion would be a sweet and precious encounter with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, Father, we step into that and we receive every one of those blessings today in Jesus' name. Mm. Thank yes, you, Lord. Amen.
Yes, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Father, we thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. We receive all that you're giving to us today. God, we enter in to fearing the name of the Lord as one of your warriors. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Fill us with your power. Fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we hope that you're encouraged and that you are stepping into your role as a warrior. We're in a war. It's being said everywhere, even in the world. And so today we want to continue with our warfare. Friday night we were out on the land at Frontline and we walked the land 7 times, many of us, and we were declaring that the walls of Jericho would fall down and that the virus, the good virus of the gospel, would flood in and win the day, win the battle. So what kind of warrior are you today? We're going to go to 1 Samuel today, so find a Bible, open up, read the scriptures with us. Be a participant in this. That's part of warfare, is participating. So we're going to go to 1 Samuel 14. I'll let you find that. But I want you to know that you're one of four warriors, four types of warriors today. You decide. You identify yourself. In 1 Samuel, there's four different types of warriors that I can find. Maybe you'll find more. If you do, let me know. There's the warrior Goliath. We talked about him a few weeks ago. And he's completely of the world, has the armor of the world, the strategies of the world, the strategies of the enemy, and he carries those out one way or another. He might, the warrior in the world might even be nicer than Goliath. Goliath was just, you know, completely evil. But a person in the world might look as though they're very nice and they're trying to war according to the strategies of the world and the strategies of that the enemy might give to them, but obviously they fail in the end. They will not be able to stand in the time of war. And then of course there's the warrior Saul, who starts out well. He's even receiving from the Spirit of God, but he gets off track. He starts warring in his own flesh. He starts making sacrifices and starts doing his own thing with God, taking roles he's not supposed to take, like a priest. He took a role of being a king that chased after the anointed one, David. Even though David was only trying to bless him and be loyal to him, he decided to go against God's anointed. New anointed, because he lost a lot of his anointing because he started out well, but he just would not listen to God, would not obey God, even to the point where he consulted with a medium at one point in order to find out how to conduct warfare, trying to conjure up the prophet Samuel that had died, and obviously that led to Saul's own death and the death of his son. Then there's Jonathan. Jonathan had the right to step into a certain place by earthly standards to be the next king. Instead, he opens his heart to God. God leads him to be in covenant with David, the new anointed king, and he takes the humble place and serves the one that he sees God has anointed. He lines up his heart with heaven's heart rather than all the things that he could have done for himself. He could have built his own little kingdom. He could have become the next king in line after Saul. But instead, he sought the Lord's heart and he was in covenant with David very closely and doing God's will instead of his own will. And instead of the will of really the king, the earthly kingdom, he was doing the will of the heavenly kingdom. And then of course there's David. He's God's man. He's God's choice. He's anointed by God, pulled off the field as a shepherd boy, ends up winning the battle against Goliath, against the Philistines, and other battles, has to run from the king he's trying to bless, has opportunity to kill that king and take him out before the time that God had decided, and he twice lets Saul live when he could have taken out Saul and become the king on his own. He let God work in his life. He wasn't perfect. He did some things that were not good towards the kingdom, but his heart was towards God. His heart was lined up with heaven. So we pick up one of the warriors today, and that's in 1 Samuel 14, and that's Jonathan. And we want to go through this. This is an encouraging passage. In fact, this is just like each one of us that are lined up with heaven, wanting to serve God with a humble heart. He will favor our efforts in this warfare. We pick it up here on verse 1, Samuel, 1 Samuel 14. Now it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side." But he did not tell his father Saul, the king, who was sitting waiting to do war, but did not feel like he had the forces around him, 600 men, to go up against the Philistines. Felt he was outnumbered. He forgot that God makes up the difference in the when you number your soldiers. Saul was sitting in the outskirts of Gibeah under the pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. The people who were with him were about 600 men. Ahijah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, was wearing an ephod. But the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. Between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side. The name of one was Bozez, and the name of the other was Sine. Again, the detail of this account is incredible. These rocks had names. They were so massive and so they looked so prominent on the landscape, they had names. The front of one faced northward, opposite Mishmash, and the other southward, opposite Gibeah. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, get this, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few." So his armor bearer said to him, "Do all that is in your heart. Go then, here I am with you, according to your heart." There will be leaders, under leaders. Jonathan will place himself under David at one point in the future. But he learns his own lesson of warfare, and he has someone supporting him in his vision to take over enemy territory, in his vision to go to war, in his desire, in his dream, and God is going to back him. Then Jonathan said, "Very well, let us cross over to these men, and we will show ourselves to them." Now remember, they're on the low ground. The enemy is on the high ground. Jonathan is a warrior. Jonathan is a military man. But they are going to show themselves to the enemy who is on the high ground. If they say to us, if they say thus to us, "Wait until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and not go up to them. But if they say to us, 'Come up to us,' then we will go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us." Are you kidding me? This is a disastrous scheme. You don't go up to the high ground to take the enemy. It would be in the natural, just the opposite. you would want the enemy to come down from the high ground so you have some chance to defeat them. But it's the opposite here. So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, "Look, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden." Have you felt hidden in this season with coronavirus? You've kind of been in your own house, your own hole, so to speak, in a good way. You're with family in your own house. You occasionally go out to get the groceries or whatever. You're hoping that the enemy will not see you, in a sense, the coronavirus, and will not be able to affect you in any way. Well, here Jonathan jumps out so they can see him. He comes out of his hole. Then the man of the garrison called to Jonathan and said to his armor bearer and said, "Come up to us and we will show you something." What do you think their plan is? To show them maybe the edge of the sword, the point of the spear? That's probably what they had in mind. "Come up after me, for the Lord has..." Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel." Wait a minute. This is outrageous. The enemies on the high ground, they say, "Oh, come on up here. Come on, we want to show you something." They want to show them the edge of the sword, the point of the spear. And Jonathan says in faith, "Let's go. That's the Lord. Let's go to the high ground and take the enemy. Let's go to the place where we're weak and they're strong and take the enemy." And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees. Can I say it again? Hands and knees. He's without a weapon. His armor bearer behind him is the one with the weapon. Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan. And as he came after him, his armor bearer killed them. Wait a minute. That just doesn't make any sense. He pokes his head over the top of the hill and the enemy is immediately defeated. The armor bearer comes up after him and cleans up. No mark on Jonathan. No mark on the armor bearer. It goes on here. "The first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within half an acre of land. It was 20-2, and they wiped them out easily without even a mark. And there was trembling in the camp, in the field, and among all the people. The garrison and the raiders also trembled, and the earth quaked, so that it was a very great trembling." This victory put trembling, fear in the enemy's camp. Incredible. It was multiplied. This victory was multiplied. A victory of faith is always multiplied. It doesn't stay just with us. It multiplies to our family, to our friends, to our community, to the nations. "Now the watchmen of Saul in Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and there was the multitude melting away, and they were here and there. Then Saul said to the people who were with him, 'Now call the roll and see who is gone from us.'" Who is causing this? How did this happen? We have everybody here, don't we? And when they had called the roll, surprisingly, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. And Saul said to Ahijah, "Bring the ark of God here." For at that time, the ark of God was with the children of Israel. Now it happened while Saul talked to the priest that the noise which was in the camp of the Philistines continued to increase. What noise? The noise of fear. How would you like the coronavirus to cry out, "Uncle, I give up"? The enemy is defeated because the faith in the people of God has increased so much that by many or by few, this virus will be defeated. And the enemy will be defeated in his plan to keep people from the Lord. And they will be one to the Lord. In fact, they will be overwhelmed with the gospel. That's going to happen. Now it happened while Saul talked to the priest that the noise which was in the camp of the Philistines, fear, continued to increase. So Saul said to the priest, withdraw your hand. Then Saul and all the people who were with him assembled, and they went to battle. Here's Saul, depending on numbers, and he sees that two have caused the enemy to run. So he joins in the fight now when he sees the battle turning in the favor of the children of Israel. And indeed, every man's sword was against his neighbor, and there was a very great confusion. What's this talking about? The Philistines were killing one another. They were so confused. The virus will turn on itself. God can make that happen. Easily. Moreover, the Hebrews who were with the Philistines before that time, who went up with them into the camp from the surrounding country, they also joined the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. Those that had trouble figuring out which side they really were going to be on, whether they were going to join with Saul or not, suddenly they joined in the battle against the enemy. Those that have been not wondering whether they should join in with the people of God to defeat the virus, to defeat the enemy's plan to keep people blinded, they will join into the fight. Likewise, all the men of Israel who had hidden in the mountains of Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, they also followed hard after them in the battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle shifted to Beth-Aven, to a different place. And so, what do we learn here from Jonathan the warrior? We are Jonathan. We can have the faith in God to turn the tables even on the strategies, the normal strategies that we would have in this battle with coronavirus, or a battle against the enemy to defeat him with the gospel. And he will turn all the strategies of the enemy back on himself. He will kick the enemy in the teeth. He will change the way the gospel is received across the earth. Jesus will be desired by the nations as the tables are turned on the enemy's strategies against the plan of God. Do you want to be part of that? You can be part of that, having that heart of covenant towards God. And then you will covenant with your leaders that have the faith of God to go against the enemy's plan. That's what he has in store for each one of us. Let's join in with him and let him battle for us. Let's join in with his strategy, which may not look like any normal military strategy. Declaration, decrees, prayer, battling for our families by speaking over them, singing over them. Those things may not sound that strong to the world, but in God's kingdom, they are the key things that will win the battle. Bless you today. Be encouraged. We give God all the praise for what he's doing to make us warriors. We can't make ourselves warriors, but he certainly, through the power of the Holy Spirit, dunamis power inside of us, can certainly do that. We give you all the praise, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-337-8399.